Hello, and welcome to Arms of the Tide. I'm Quinn Welsh Wilson, Game Master. I wanted to start this week by acknowledging that there's been a lot of releases lately that have come out on the slow end of things, coming out 1 or even 2 weeks late. This here is the end of the recovery arc, which means we're going to be taking our standard bye week after this. And some of you may know this, but I'm in graduate school right now, and that sometimes takes up a lot of my time and energy, which helps to account for why so many episodes have been behind lately. What I mean to say is that I'm coming up on the end of the term here, and that means finals, and that means presentations, and that means I have even less time and energy than I usually do to put toward editing. So don't expect another episode of Arms of the Tide, starting our new story arc, until after this winter term is over in maybe mid-December. At that point, I'm going to be collaborating with Joe to formulate something that looks like a better workflow for myself and getting some of their assistance with the editorial responsibilities of the show so that we can keep the show coming out on the kind of time frame that we would prefer we see releases come out and that looks maybe a little bit more like the release schedule that we've promised you. I appreciate your understanding and your continued listenership. It means the world to me. With that being said, let's get into the final episode of Recovery. Last time on Arms of the Tide. In the Tin Flats Park, the Arms of the Tide, including Lions, Local, and Cleo, clashed with advanced placements, helmed by Anatoly Favali. Anatoly Favali lost her robotic eye in the conflict. However, she arranged the meeting under false pretenses, and Sasha, who the crew had arrived to save, was not even present. Having caught the group in an ambush, Anatoly then fled into the night. After the arms forces managed to quell the advanced placements and caught Technologic's security forces, the only lead the team was left with was Anatoly's eye. Where would it take them? And could they save Sasha in time? The dust has, at least for now, settled over the scuffle that you had with Advanced Placements and Anatoly in Tin Flats Park. However, you still don't have Sasha, and Anatoly made her way back into the night. Lyons has possession of Anatoly's eye. Where will you go from here?
Lyons needs to get the eye to Ashun. He is the most capable of getting anything worth anything off of it.
Cleo is going to initially join Lyons in trying to decode and find what information is on the eye, but eventually she is going to go back to her place to regroup.
And the actual resistance members of the arms are probably surrounding Local and wanting to get him to say, like, oh, what are we doing now? What's going next? How do we fix whatever's going on here? So as they're dragging him off, he'll put a hand up and wave at both Cleo and Lyons.
We will meet again when I am done.
Cleo looks at Local and internalizes everything that he's done for the resistance and everything that they've put on the line for her and Sasha and Lyons, and gives him a hug and says, see you soon.
Lyons pointedly does not look at any of them and acts as though they did not hear Local.
So we cut to your meeting with Ashun back at your base. He takes the eye from Lyons and says, this is an impressive specimen. It looks like it's one of the more recent models. I don't know why she opted not to wear jewelry, however, but the wiring here is going to be helpful in tracking her down.
I'm sure with her having the latest and greatest, it might actually be better than, I don't know, a piece of jewelry, would it?
It might. I probably shouldn't spend too much time worrying about its exact functions and, you know, spend more time using it to try to figure out where exactly she is. If we can recuperate any of the technology in here, however, I will be keeping this on hand for later examinations.
If you want any help, I'm going to be working with Vanui. The sooner we get the project even remotely functional and can take the Crags District offline, the sooner we have a win. And Lion pitter patters with their head slightly down, ears slightly drooped.
I'm going to go head back home, see if there's something that maybe Sasha left behind or if there's any way that she could have communicated anything with me back at my place.
Lion's actually stops when they hear that. Cleo, try not to beat yourself up on it. We'll get Sasha back somehow.
Cleo shrugs and nods, but still heads for the door.
You'll be the first to know when I turn anything up.
Thanks. We'll hopefully have a good response time.
We cut back to Local, who is surrounded by folks at Tin Flats Park. Who is it right now that you're speaking with?
So Local is currently talking with Arendi, the M guy that he had left in charge before when he had taken off.
Arendi, has anything in my absence required attention?
We're continuing to work on all of the fronts that we had been working on before. The problems at the entry gates and security checkpoints are continuing as they were, but nothing's gotten significantly worse. We're still waiting for the intel from the arms in regard to the detention centers, but I won't lie, I think things might be reaching a breaking point soon with the checkpoints.
I can understand that, especially given tonight's activities. They may view a crackdown is in order.
Getting back to the Crags district might actually prove to be difficult tonight, especially with us moving in these kinds of numbers.
Have people slowly go. If anyone has places that are safe in the area, stay here. Do not go in any numbers.
Yeah, trickle through.
And make sure there's always someone watching.
Yeah, you got it.
I will wait until everyone else has gone through.
All right. Be safe. The people need you.
The people need all of us. You be safe as well.
Of course. So, Cleo, you arrive back home, and as you get there, you find sitting outside of your door, impatiently tapping his foot, is Luke.
Hey.
Finally home, huh?
Well, it took a while. You saw what happened.
I saw what happened. I don't know where you went after.
So I had to regroup at the headquarters. You know I'm still a part of this.
Yeah, I know. I know. I'm just worried. I don't know where she is, and
I know. We're all worried. It's gonna be hard, but we're doing everything we can. We have a piece of technology that might give us our location or something that we can use to find her last point of being. It's all that we have going for us right now. So we just have to hang tight and stay hopeful. I'm letting you know everything that I know.
Thanks for keeping me in the loop. It's just like,
I know, I'm sorry. It's going to be hard, and it's hard not having answers. It's hard not knowing if we fucked up bogarting this, but there's a lot at stake on both sides, and no matter what, something bad is going to happen, and I'm just trying to do everything I can to not have anything bad happen.
Yeah, and that's the difference between you and me, Cleo. You can do something. I can't even stop her from getting kidnapped. I can't show up to the rendezvous. I can't
Luke,
do anything.
You weren't in the line of business for this. You are just someone who kind of got thrown into this, and you can't expect to have all the tools to handle some big ordeal like this.
I don't need all the tools, Cleo. I just need anything. Have you ever had to sit by powerless
like
this?
It absolutely feels like I'm powerless right now because I haven't found her. I haven't done anything. I haven't gotten even her location. She was in my home when she was taken. How fuck do you think that is, that she was taken from my home and everything that I have? They know my location. They know my family. I have a lot at stake here too. And Luke, you are also at stake by being one of my friends, and I'm trying to do everything that I fucking can so that you don't also get taken and used against me. I'm sorry this really sucks, but to be honest, I need you here for me, and I'm still here.
I'm sorry, Cleo. I really am. I know this is a lot, and as much as I might wish that I could do something, I know that the burden of having to act, of being the person who needs to do something, that's too much to bear.
I understand if you want out of this, or if you want, you know, to be kept in the dark, and then we tell you when this is all done. If that would be better for you, that's fine. I also am here for you. I want to know what I can do for you.
please just keep me in the loop. Maybe I can find something that I can do as information continues to trickle in. And if not, well...
Maybe if you want, stop by with Lions or local. I'm sure that there's something that you could do. I mean, everyone's kind of sitting ducks right now. And the only people who are able to do this research and find things out, we're kind of just waiting on them and what they can find. And we try not to pressure them. But if you want, you're a face that Ka's not necessarily familiar with. So that could be an advantage. But you have to understand, by doing this, your whole entire family and everything, it's on the line.
I know.
If being helpful for Sasha is worth it, then I want you to make that decision. I'm not going to make that decision for you.
The decision was made a while ago. I'll go to headquarters, I guess. Figure something out.
Think about it first. Don't make decisions because you're flustered.
Have you seen the city?
I know.
There's it's no shit. Time to stop and think.
Well, I'm personally telling you, we don't need anyone making any hasty movements or decisions because that's kind of how we got here. Ergo me. And I'm trying to learn from my mistakes.
He puts his hand on your shoulder. Listen to me, Cleo. This might seem like a quick decision, but ever since Sasha was hurt, I've been agonizing over not being able to do anything. And since the night of the Conduit Revolt, even more so, having to sit by as you put yourself on the line and a bunch of other people did, and I leaned back on the hood of a car, I can't do that anymore. I know what my heart's telling me. And I have a way to go there.
Then I think you should follow it. I think that there's a rightful place for you with us. And if it helps, I can keep my movements streamed. I can keep you updated on things that I'm doing and hunches that I'm following so that you know where I am.
Yeah, that would be good.
I'll just, use my piercing. Hopefully that doesn't get interfered with, but...
Yeah, keep me in the loop. Keep streaming it to me.
Okay.
And he... steps away a little bit and holds out his hand with one hand like on the middle of his chest, signaling that he would like to do a secret handshake shared between you and him and Sasha.
Cleo holds her opposite hand out and her respective other hand to her chest so that both of their hands meet almost as though they are forming a triangle where Sasha's hand should be to complete this triangle. And instead, they just kind of clasp hands and then just give a reassuring squeeze to one another and then touch foreheads.
Mega best friends forever. Mega ride or die.
Best friends forever. Ride or die.
No doubts. No hesitations.
No doubts. No hesitations. Eat shit, Ka.
Eat shit, Ka. And he breaks away and steps toward his car.
Cleo goes inside her home to feel a very empty and cold building where usually that's her base of coming home, relaxing, unwinding, assessing everything that's happened for the day. And it can be her safe space. But now that it's invaded by Ka and Anatoly, it feels dirty and it feels cold and it feels betraying. Knowing that she couldn't keep Sasha safe there and off the grid, that it has now been compromised. She doesn't know what they've looked out already, all the files that she's had from things and jobs that she's done before. She makes a mental note to try to think about what sensitive material's in there and what that might affect for other people later on that they have told her confidentially. And she tries to assess the area in which Sasha was taken. Just looking at articles that have been left behind, both hers and Sasha's.
As Cleo is dedicatedly reviewing the evidence, we cut away to the workshop at the base for the Arms of the Tide cell that you work for. And we see Lyons and Vanui huddled over various pieces of electronics from different generations of Ka Technologics technology. Vanui seems to be carefully reviewing the different etchings on the metal and the way that it is resonating with and conducting the resonance. I just can't find a way to disrupt the flow of resonance or to isolate it. I can't find a way to not make it chain.
I know, Lyons says and is clearly irritated. They scratch their other paw with their metal claw and are just very agitated, and their ears are down, and they're so tired because this is exhausting. And no matter how many times they and Vanui revisit it, it's the same problem that they can't figure out how to get it to separate.
I don't know. You went through a lot tonight, right? I don't know why you've come to work on this, you should probably get some rest.
I don't need sleep, just like you don't need sleep. I'm fine.
Rest and sleep are different things, Lions.
Let's pretend that I believe that. I'm just saying, if we can find a way to get the pigment to do literally anything without metal being involved, we can probably find a way to disconnect the metal from the lodestone and still react. It's just a matter of getting literally anything to work. Even if we could just get it working with kinetic energy. I don't care if I need to stand in a giant Baymado wheel and run for the rest of my life to get the Crags District offline. If that's what we need to do, then that's what we need to do.
I hear you, and I agree. Maybe I need rest. Everything you say sounds right, and I can't make heads or tails of how to make it work. I don't know. And Lions, your phone goes off.
I look at who it is.
It is a text message from Chaney.
Internally, my stomach just drops through the floor, and I view the message.
Hot situation at Hot Keys. And when I say hot, I don't mean good. I mean I need help right now, please. A rhyme by Chaney.
You know what, Vinui? Yeah, go get some sleep, rest, whatever. I have to go help my friend. And so, yeah, go get rest. I have to go help my friend. They're my friend. I have to go. And Lions just like starts leaving, whether or not like Vinui responds.
Yeah, before Vinui even has a chance to really open his mouth, you're through the door. And as you are storming out of the compound, you see Luke in his jacket arriving.
Cleo isn't here.
I know. She sent me. I'm gonna be doing more work with you, I guess.
You do realize that our work is dangerous, and literally any of us could die or be abducted by Ka at any minute.
It's better than doing nothing.
You could be being a good friend to Cleo right now instead of being here.
This is what she asked me to do.
I super, super doubt that, but okay.
Fine. Ask her yourself next time you see her.
Yeah.
And he opens the door and slams it.
I will! Lions shouts as they pitter patter.
We cut back to the park in the Tin Flats district where Local has been camped out waiting for everyone to head home. People have long since actually left the park itself and intend to return in small waves, but you are keeping a close eye on logs of communication between people, verifying locations and that sort of thing. And you begin to hear from the other side of the park an ominous and rhythmic sort of creaking sound. It sounds almost as though something too heavy is straining a swing set. What do you do?
That's weird. Local, go check out and just see what that is. Make sure it's not anything that he needs to be worried about as far as getting the people back.
As you begin to approach, the rhythmic creaking grows louder and louder. And you see that, in fact, it is a figure on the swing set at the far side of the park, weighing it down. The set itself is lopsided with the uneven distribution of weight, but still the chains shriek with each movement forward and backward. The figure is shrouded in darkness, so you can't quite make heads or tails of who or what they might be. But you begin to feel a familiar tug at the edges of your consciousness.
Local begins to walk towards the figure on the swings.
Excuse me.
The figure turns toward you, and you see a coating of black metal over sharp red eyes.
I have been waiting for you. You're the one they call the conduit, are you not?
That is what they call me.
I believe, perhaps we is not the right term, but it is most understandable if I say that we had an encounter in the past.
Do you have a name that I could use?
One was never designated me.
Is there one that you would like?
The swinging actually stops a moment as the robot kicks its feet out, and some of the wood chips spray forward in a small gout.
Perhaps
Conduit Slayer would suit me well, but that is not why I am here.
Very well, Slayer. Why are you here?
Because our mutual master wants you to know that he hasn't let his eyes off you.
The only mutual master that we have is the resonance that gives us life.
Fool yourself as much as you like. Sirico always collects.
Then let him know that I will see him when the bill comes due.
I may not have arrived to slay you. However, I believe it might be a good idea to ensure that I hammer the message home.
And one of the beams that sits in a triangle to support the swing is ripped off and pulled out, and the concrete support at the bottom of it serves as a sort of sledge that he points toward you as we cut away to Cleo. Cleo, as you are going over what amounts to the evidence for the umpteenth time, you get a phone call coming in.
Cleo answers it.
Cleo, this is Ashun.
Oh, hey.
I need you to get your things together. Chaloon is on his way. Sasha is in transit.
Oh, fuck. Okay. What should I bring? Never mind, I've got
arm this. Yourself.
Okay.
And be prepared for Ka to interfere. It looks like they're transporting her away from the current Ka Technologic stronghold.
That's perfect.
Perhaps, but it is dangerous.
I'll do anything. I can't not have my best friend back. Have you let everyone else know? I'm sure I'm going to be there first, but I can't wait for them.
I've looked at their information. They're preoccupied.
That's fine. I'll just go, and it might be better. I can just slip in and out. Last time it got messy because I had too many people.
I talked it over with Chaloon. Your best shot is going to be to free her while she's in transit.
Okay. Are you sure Chaloon's up for this? He's had a rough few days.
Suffice to say, Chaloon's learned a couple of lessons in the last couple of weeks.
I'll be it.
And you hear the squealing of tires outside in the parking lot.
That's a promising sign. Thank you.
Yeah. Good luck.
Thank you. See you soon. Bye-bye.
And you hear a holler. Let's go!
Cleo packs some heat. She's got her charge rifle and she's packed enough bullets to blast Ka to the next planet. But not quite Kingdom Come. I mean, she's one person. And she heads to Chaloon's car.
So Chaloon is, as always, in what amounts to a semi-truck, but...
without the back.
Well, it does have the back, actually, right now. However... despite the curious sound you've heard when he arrived, it's a well-established fact that in AO, cars don't have wheels. So there is a trailer on the back of the semi, and it has a sliding door on the side so that you don't need to open the back in order to get someone inside of it. We need to get going right now. And Chaloon leans out the side and pops the door open.
Cleo climbs in. Are you sure you're up for this, man? I mean, I can drive, and then once we get there, you just can hop in the driver's seat. No, just keep it running.
I promise. I'm okay.
All right. I trust you.
His eyes look a little harder than they looked before, and his sleeves on basically his work coveralls have been unbuttoned and rolled up, and against his dark skin, there is a light scar that trails from the top of his knuckle and curls around his wrist and then slides all the way up to the elbow. Some of it is still actually kind of scabbed, but most of it has properly scarified.
I'm ready, I promise you.
What happened?
A story for another time.
Okay, well, let's do this.
Yeah.
You packing?
I am.
Okay, that's good.
And he holds up his other hand, and attached to his wrist, there is actually a bracelet that has a couple of thin chain-like projections that link up to his fingers that he can use to create concussive blasts. And he puts the car into drive and speeds out of the parking lot, orders of magnitude faster than you've ever seen him drive before.
Cleo's eyes kind of widen, and she smiles to herself. God damn, he really did. So you know where you're going already?
Ashun is feeding me the location, yes.
Okay. Is it far?
It's not close, but we're going to make time.
Good.
At which point, he drives through a stoplight.
There's no chance in us fucking this up because we're not going to get there on time, so good on you, Chaloon. And she pats him on the shoulder.
And a couple of intense minutes later, you see another semi on one of the freeways that circles around the edges of AO in a gentle downward spiral toward the center. And on the back of this is chained down on a flatbed. So it is a semi that doesn't have like a proper trailer. It's just a super long flatbed. You can see what looks like a coffin and very little else actually on this flatbed.
That's her. Do you see that? Up top, she's in the coffin. I saw the coffin earlier. I know that's her.
Yeah. I'll pull us close.
Okay. And Cleo, at this point, starts her recording of her eyebrow. It will record and keep whether or not Luke is aware, so he doesn't have to be attentive to it. It'll at least save to his computer. So just right to his desktop at home.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Chaloon says, you're going to need to jump.
Okay, I can do this. I can do this. And then she slaps her face a few times, kind of just slapping her cheeks. I can do this. I can do this for Sasha. And she unrolls the passenger window. The wind is a lot more violent than it seems when she was inside the car. Chaloon is driving much faster than she thought he was ever capable of. So she climbs to the top of the semi and she can see the coffin much closer now. She sees that there's a small light glowing inside from the gap in between the lid of the coffin and the base. And she feels Sasha's energy much closer. She knows what she looks like when she's in that rest mode. So she knows for a fact that that's Sasha. She feels a little twinge of hope when it comes to her about to make the jump and she yells for Chaloon to just get as close as they can without hitting the car.
He does so, and I'm going to need you to make a difficulty 4 roll to cross the gap.
She is going to use stealth because she's trying to do so quietly just so that she can go as long as she can without being noticed.
Okay.
Oof, double doubles.
What happens is you leap the gap and you are planning to basically do a smooth tuck and roll and you are springing up out of the roll and the wind here hits you really, really hard as well as the speed of the vehicle and it lays you back out on your back with a really, really loud slapping sound. And you can feel the car swerve a little bit as it seems like the people in front have become aware of your presence. The coffin is well on the other side of the flatbed. What will you do?
Cleo tries to run and make way for the coffin just to at least hide behind it if she can. That way she can at least maybe stall some time in which they notice and look in the rearview mirror. She knows that they heard her, but maybe they can wait a second before they go to check things out.
So you can hear something sort of whirring in the back, and you are not being seen through the window, but you can hear that there are some mechanisms moving. You're near the coffin right now. If there's a time to do this, it's right now. What will you do?
Cleo looks at Chaloon, who's driving slightly farther behind, and sees that he has a worried look on his face, but she reassures him with a smile and a thumbs up, and she mouths that she's okay. She puts one gun in her hand and starts to open the coffin to bust Sasha out.
The coffin strains for a minute against the chains and then gives way as Sasha is lifted up essentially on a metal bed that slowly tilts so it is standing vertically. And there's a moment where you look at her in the eyes and there's nothing there.
Her heart falls a little bit, but she knows that that's kind of what she looked like before. And she somehow had it stuck in her head that maybe since she's been with Ka for a little bit, they did turn her on and maybe they were able to put her back together. So if Cleo did follow through, that she would be able to just have her friend back, but she knows that that's not the end if Sasha's not on.
And then her eyes snap into focus, and you hear Sasha's voice.
You wore your jacket. I told you that there would be a big decision you would have to make when you wore it. I'm glad you came.
Cleo doesn't know what to say. She's speechless. She goes from having her heart on the floor to immediately picked back up. She smiles a little bit, and tears start to well up in her eyes. I thought I lost you.
I've been gone a while, huh?
A long time. Luke's worried. We're all worried. You were taken from us. You were taken from my home.
I don't remember a lot, but I'm really glad to see you.
I am too. And she gives Sasha a hug, but also trying to move her back at the same time, ushering her towards the truck.
Chaloon sees this and the side door opens and he begins to speed the car up so that you're moving parallel to each other.
We have to get you inside. You've been held captive and you're being basically bartered because they wanted me to give up the revolution and I can't lose both you and everything that we're working towards. So I gotta put you in here.
The revolution? I've missed a lot.
You have. We're working for rights, for robots, for AO. We want everyone to be able to be free from cause. Claws being in our city and everything, and they were using you as a pawn.
That explains a lot. That explains the memories. Thank you, Cleo. I'm still a little out of it, she says and looks at you. You've been doing most of the work as you've been moving her toward the car. I'm not sure if I can make this myself.
It's okay. You don't have to do it alone. I'm here now. And she pushes, but lifts her up first. So she's holding Sasha almost like a baby. She's kind of coddled her. She's using every bit of strength that she's had. I mean, she moved a tree for fuck's sake. So she can lift Sasha up, but it is a struggle. And she manages to lunge Sasha into the truck.
And as you're preparing to do that and throw her, Chaloon shouts over the scream of the wind on the highway, Cleo, look out! As a bolt of energy charges in front of you, and Anatoly Favali and a second figure stand at the far end of the flatbed, having emerged from the back of the cab. I'm going to need you to stop right there.
No, you're done. You played dirty, so I played dirty back. We have Sasha. Fuck off.
Well, at this point, then, there's very little reason for me not to shoot your legs out from underneath you and send you dashing across the highway.
I guess I could say the same.
Well, you see, if you do that to me, my friend Imena here,
and she motions to the woman at her side, a human with green eyes and a shock of intense red hair and dark skin. I run things around here. The Crags District, that is.
Oh god, you're too cheery.
See, this whole thing was my idea. The kidnapping and arranging the meeting and then faking you out. Yeah, I just really wanted to meet you. I've admired your work so much.
Cool. Do you want, like, a photo or something?
Well, I wanted to give you an offer, really. I know that it seems like Kaa does some really bad stuff. And that, you know, some of it might even feel unforgivable. I'm sure you saw the quashing of the rebellion on television. But I promise, Kaa does care, and I think that you could do a lot for Kaa.
I think you've been fed a lot of fucking lies. The quashing that you did of the rebellion actually only ignited the whole entire city into turning against you. I'm sure you don't know that, though, because you're just too stuck planning all this stuff that you don't pay attention to what's happening on a local level. And that's fine. But to be quite honest, Kaa doesn't care. Kaa wants to stay on top and wants to keep people down from people who want Kaa not on top. So I don't know if I really want to be for that or if I really want to be joining arms with something in a business that just has so much blood on its hands. I don't know about you, but I like to sleep at night.
Let me level with you. Sure. I know that Kaa does a lot of violence. I know that you've also done a lot of violence. I also know things haven't just disappeared since the night of the Conduit Revolt. I know that things have gotten more intense. Why do you think the situation in the Crags District has amped up so much in terms of security? No, I'm not a fool. I'm not failing to look in the right places. I recognize that there are hard choices that need to be made, and I'm willing to make them. See, that's why I've partnered with Advanced Placements.
Oh, you mean like the racists that run about this city that like to target a certain type of people? Those people you like to side with Advanced Placements?
That's one way of seeing things. Another way of seeing things is hedging some threats. I'm sure that you've noticed our new security system, aside all the checkpoints and that. the unit's unnamed.
Unfortunately, I have. And to us, that looks like Ka is scared and that they're actually just running on their fears of that the people might actually revolt and we might actually outnumber everyone at Ka. And once there's no people left, Ka doesn't have anyone else to sell shit to. And I'm quite frankly tired of listening to you, the walking Ka billboard and commercial who sounds cheap. I'm sorry, but we're done. And Cleo kind of smiles, like sideways smiles, and she has her hand on her gun.
She scowls. You listen to me, you bus station tramp.
There it is. I knew that was too good to be the real you.
You could have had everything.
Oh, yes.
Once the units unnamed have established their network, only those who have been chosen are going to be free of Ka's absolute dominion.
Genocide! You're talking about genocide!
I'm talking about a chance for you to finally take your future into your own hands. But you've thrown that away, and you've thrown it away for your pathetic little friend, too.
You are a nasty person, and that's a no from me, dog. You're kind of ugly, too. I'm sorry. Your attitude has made you very ugly.
So are you going to take a shot before they do? All right, what this role is going to be is going to be a combination of you trying to get Sasha over the gap into the van while trying to take a shot so that they can't maneuver or harm her. So it's going to be very difficult, I think. This sounds like a complication 5 role to me.
Okay. Like, I'm going to say that's a ranged attack in terms of shooting and trying to punt or range throw Sasha into the van.
I'll take it. What is that?
That's a 12. That's a no.
You can land your shot or you can get Sasha over the gap.
I will get Sasha over the gap.
You hurl Sasha and she lands as a bolt from Anatoly's gun strikes you in the leg and you can hear Sasha cry. No, Cleo!
Cleo doesn't say anything and she looks towards Chaloon, who she can see only via the side view mirror, and looks at him in a way that she's probably never looked at anyone before and tells him to go.
There's a moment of softness and hesitation in Chaloon's face. The hard edge that you saw earlier disappears in a moment while his mouth hangs.
She matches his softness and then mouths, please.
He grips his hand along the steering wheel and you can see his muscles tighten with tension along his scar as he presses a button and the car boosts forward. Anatoly is still holding her gun toward you and Aymena has a sort of rack of jewelry that it actually seems to have expanded from where it sits against her skin and is humming with energy that is coursing along her body.
Cleo is going to calmly turn towards Aymena, and she's actually going to use one of her resonance points for I Know What You Did Last Summer, which lets her know Aymena's greatest weakness or fear because they have conversed for at least 5 minutes.
So which do you want to know? Weakness or fear?
Fear.
Her greatest fear is impotence, of being unable to act.
Okay.
Or control things.
Cleo is going to use suave to talk to Aymena. Look, I know I've said some bad things, but you caught me at a bad time. It's hard being out here with your family on the line and not feeling like you can do anything. Not feeling like you can help anyone out and you're losing control of the situation. You must know how that feels. You're a woman in power, for God's sakes. So let's just re-talk things. You don't need to use your blasty bracelets. We're just all women here.
She grimaces a moment before a smile creeps back across her face. Of course I understand. That's why I offered you power. That's why I offered you something to do with the future of AO. I offered you a position that very few would be willing to turn down, but you did it anyway.
You just have to respect my wishes and not wanting to do that. And you have to understand that my family is on this local level.
So go ahead and roll a difficulty 4 suave check.
Motherfucker. That's a no from me, dog. Didn't work.
Well, there's a very simple difference between the two of us, Cleo. When I had the choice to take things into my own hands, well, I accepted. And you, well, you let things slip away.
But I think that you're right. There's no need for me to use these, and her bracelets power down. Miss Favalli, I think that you can take care of the situation, correct? And she steps back into an opening portal in the cab of the car. Toodaloo.
Sorry about your eye.
Ah, so you're going to play it smart. Listen, I told you that I would send someone to rip that piercing out. Now seems as good a time as any. Or would you rather that I end things a little more quickly for you?
I think I'd rather you take it from me yourself.
She charges you, barreling across the flatbed, aiming her gun as she's doing so, trying to take a couple of shots at you. You can make a roll to dodge. It'll be a difficulty 3.
Okay, I'm going to roll to dodge with athletics. So she doesn't dodge.
This blast of kinetic force strikes you in the stomach and sends you rolling along, prone to the edge of the flatbed as Anatoly finishes closing in, and she crouches down, pocketing her gun for a moment. As she lifts you by your head, she grabs your piercing and actually yanks your head upward, and you are looking at her face where the leaves that sort of cover where her eye normally sits flutter in the wind, showing this metallic socket along her organic eye.
I've wanted to do this to you for a long time.
Fine. I'll tell you how to get to the conduit.
Oh?
He lives in the nest.
What?
I can't say it too loud, or other things will hear. He lives in the ice district.
The ice district?
And Cleo uses her knife to stab Anatoly just where she can reach, as they're very close.
If you want to go ahead and spend a resonance point, you can make that automatically succeed.
I do. I would like to spend my last resonance points for the scene.
The knife enters her gut, and you can feel her tense with the pain.
Ugh. I'll never fucking tell you. I don't know why you thought I would.
You've always been a liar. And yet I am so willing to let myself be tricked by you.
Goodbye, Cleo. And she yanks on your piercing with all of her might, and it comes loose, leaving quite a gash on your forehead. And she looks at the piece and says, I think I'm going to be keeping this, you know, as a keepsake of sorts. Did you have any last words?
With blood in Cleo's teeth and part of her skin missing from her face, she's in a lot of pain, obviously, and she looks towards the piercing, and Anatoly mistakes it for looking at her, and she says, Ka should be quivering where they stand because they know their time is short.
That's all? Some grandstanding at the end?
Cleo spits blood into Anatoly's face and then smiles and winks.
I just want you to know that this is going to bring me great pleasure.
And she takes her sidearm back out and fires 3 shots into you.
After being shot in the back, she's obviously on all fours on the flatbed, and she tries to say as strongly as she can with her last breaths, I regret nothing, you bitch.
I only regret that we weren't able to come to a fruitful arrangement. It's a shame.
And she kicks you with your last breath, tumbling into the highway. And Local and Lyons, you both receive messages right now from Luke. Messages streaming in at an alarming rate.
All of this is going on, and Local is arm to arm trying to wrestle with this unit unnamed that he has named Slayer, and the camera zooms down into his communicator, and all you see is this blinking thing, and it says, one missed video message.
Meanwhile, Lyons can't even look at their phone because Chaney's hot emergency was that no one would be his drum circle partner. And so Lyons, thinking that they're being a good friend, or rather trying to convince themselves that they are, is doing no phone time with the friend that they think needs them most.
In the back of Chaloon's truck, Sasha had, as the car was bolting forward, manage to stumble toward the back on unsure feet, where she opens the back door so she can see anything of Cleo's last moments. And as Cleo's body strikes the road, Sasha whispers, "Whatever it takes, I'll make sure that the decision was worth it."
Arms of the Tide is a proud member of the One Shot Podcast Network. For more wonderful shows from the network, check out Adventure. Adventure is an actual play podcast that focuses on the fun of fan fiction and is set in your favorite fictional universes. Join host Pranks Paul as he takes a variety of guests through self-contained stories featuring Harry Potter, Pokemon, Animorphs, and other favorites.